452.
It marks 10 years this week since the Beltway snipers terrorized our region. 13 people were shot. 10 of them died. John Allen Muhammad was executed in 2009 for his role in the shootings, while Lee Boyd Malvo is spending the rest of his life in prison.
Joining us now live, Washington Post local editor Mike Semmel. Thanks for being here, Mike.
Pleasure.
For people who did not live here at that time, it's really impossible for them to comprehend how we were all terrified to be caught in a line in a gas station or to walk from your car inside a store and walk across a big parking lot. It was terribly frightening.
It sure was, Hillary. I remember my brother and his family were supposed to come visit me during that time, and my niece just wouldn't do it. It was so terrifying just to do mundane, everyday things that she wouldn't come, and just people all across the region canceled events, kept their kids inside, all that stuff.
And of course, not only were folks terrified, but we were watching virtually minute by minute the police investigation unfold over that three-week period. What struck you about how the police handled this situation?
Well, it was almost an impossible situation for them. You know, the shootings came without warning. They were all over the region. There was no victim profile to go by. There was no geographic profile to go by. They shot all up and down the region. They shot white people. They shot black people. They shot old people. They shot a 13-year-old kid outside of middle school. It was terrifying, and they just basically had nothing to go on. And they were as frustrated, more frustrated than anybody, until the snipers contacted them, first with the tarot card and then with the notes that they left at the scene. And that started to give them something to go on.
Now, of course, D.C. police had put out a statement saying there was a blue car that had been spotted. And Montgomery County, which was in charge of the major investigation, kind of dismissed it. And when they were looking for a white van. What has law enforcement learned since then about cooperating with information, if anything?
Well, yeah, I think everybody has learned plenty from going back to that time. It's not that the darker car was dismissed so much as there were reports during every single one of these shootings of a white van. Now, obviously, there are white vans all over the place. So that's not that surprising. But when that's the thing that you're getting constantly, then that's the thing that you're going to go on. You know, we had an interview with Lee Malvo in the paper on Sunday, and the audio is on our website now. One of the things that he said that I thought was terrifying was that they saw the media reports as well, and there were some shootings where they waited for a white van to go by before they took their shot. So that would be a consistent aspect of the witness reports.
In our final 30 seconds, talk more about that Malvo interview. What struck you the most about it?
Two things. I mean, I think the main thing was that he's an adult now, and the kid who sat with the FBI and the Fairfax County police when he was first arrested was boastful, and he was, just degrading to the entire situation. And now he's expressing remorse, which is, a pretty heartfelt remorse if you listen to the tape. Where he's advising the victim's families to forget about him because he's a monster and he was, in his words, the worst kind of scum.
And what did you feel about him as you spoke with him?
Well, I edited the coverage. Josh White, a fabulous reporter, was the one who went down there and spoke to him. And I don't want to speak for him, but in our conversations, you know, he was also taken by the adultness, if that's a word, of the conversation and how the perspective of 10 years has really made him remorseful and made him see the enormity of what he'd done.